Hello, hello.
Did I just yawn?
Yes, you did. Okay. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And you just yawned.
I did. I just yawned. I didn't know we were on.
We're on. How could you not know? It's a countdown.
I was getting that one last final yawn out before start the show.
And it's not because you're bored or tired.
No.
It's the energy. It's so profound.
I know. You must release it through
yawning.
100%.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that who was that singer, Yanni?
Yanni, yes.
Is it Yanni?
Yanni, yes. Is that a Julieism already?
What is it? No, it's not Yanni.
Calling Dr. Arconian.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, we're Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Yes.
And we'll give you insight into that little joke in a second.
We will. But we're mother and daughter.
Yes.
And around here, they call me the mom.
Yeah, you're Christy,
I'm Christy Marie.
I'm Julie. I'm the daughter.
That's right.
We're your in-house certified.
We're certifiable. We're just certifiable.
We're life optimization coaches.
Yes.
We've got our certification in law of attraction as well. You're a certified
hypnotist.
Yes.
I've been hypnotized.
You're a psychotherapist with your master's degree. I'm a former teacher. Yes. And we're all about really getting more life out of your life.
Yeah. More life with the girlfriends,
yes,
right?
But we just didn't take that. We like life with the girlfriends.
We like life with the girlfriends,
yeah.
But we're all about more life. I want to call it... You know what? Look this up on GoDaddy because I want to call this Morgasms.
Morgasms. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is look that up on GoDaddy.
Hello, everyone. Go to Morgasms.com.
Because first of all, I'm sure it is taken.
Is it?
Yes. I'm sure it is. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I coined it, Julie.
Yes. If you've never heard our podcast before.
I hope you have.
We've done it for years.
We've done it for years, but it's award-winning.
It is.
It's the number one best podcast by a mother and daughter.
That's right. In this household.
On the World Wide Web. That stems from Dixon, Illinois.
There you go. So we say it.
Yeah.
For
and
sure.
100%. I have the doggone trophy to prove it.
There you go. I think I made that trophy for you, didn't I?
You did.
That was awesome.
It was out of clay.
Yeah.
it was a trophy / ashtray.
Yeah. It was a dreidel. I made it to a dreidel song. Trophy, trophy, trophy. I made it out of clay.
Trophy, trophy, trophy.
I spin that little trophy and... There it goes, I say. I don't know. But anyway, so on our show, we take the first little bit of our time to talk about us and the week.
And our family, and our life with the girlfriends.
And we like to have fun because one thing we like about this show we do, our radio show on BBS Radio, we want to have fun with it. We want to, and because you know what? We can learn through fun. We hope to make you laugh on a Sunday night.
Yes.
Or while you're working out, you can always download the show later on iTunes.
Right.
But it's live right now on BBS Radio on Sunday nights.
LearningWithFun.com.
Yeah.
Can you check that out? I didn't check that out either. Okay.
And then also, too, go to our blog, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Go to our website there. Check us out on Facebook at Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Whoa.
We just wrote our number one book on Amazon.
Yes.
The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
But that was an Amazon number one bestseller.
Number one. Yes.
That's right.
And so then we talk about a little bit what we learned from our dog, Elliot, in the middle of the show because why not?
Elliot's Corner.
And it's our show.
And everything that you can possibly learn in life, you can learn through watching your dog.
Yes. And I remember Oprah asking Shirley MacLaine, what else would you want to tell me about life? Like, what's the most important thing about life? And she says, well, you need a couple things. You need clean water,
a good sun hat, and a good sun hat.
And then she thought more and more and more. And she goes, you know what? Also take more time to learn whatever you need to learn from your dogs.
Yes.
They'll tell you a lot.
They will.
And I thought, that's brilliant. And the truth is...
It's true.
It is true. We can learn a lot.
I know.
How to optimize our lives through our dogs. And then finally
especially through Elliot.
Yeah, because he's just a great Wheaton.
Yeah. Did you know that he's running for president?
Yes.
His slogan?
What?
More bones, less taxes.
Well,
amen.
Not more boners, because he has that problem too. No.
He did, but we'll talk about that during Elliot's Corner.
And so then finally, in our part of our show, we call Pillar Talk. And that's where we talk about the pillars of life. You know, we have health, we have wealth, we have relationships, and how, and many more, and how do we plus those so that we can have a better life and getting more out of those things.
And a lot of times we have interviews during that time as well. And
we've interviewed Chris Luck.
Yeah, and Daniel or David Ross?
David Ross.
David Ross. What a very interesting guy.
Yes.
Can't wait to interview him again.
Exactly. And you have Daniel on your brain. That's why you said that.
I do have Daniel on the brain.
Yes.
DanielOnTheBrain.com.
That might be available.
That might be available.
But I do know for sure that they have all these new domain names like .kitchen, .cafe. So really, morgasms.kitchen, morgasms.cafe. I wonder if they just have a .porn now. They should just have .porn.
Yeah, really.
Morgasms.porn.
That's the filing the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
The internet's 80% porn, yes. 20%. Advertisement about porn.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So what we want to do is just have some fun tonight.
Yeah, but our show's rated, I would say our show's rated G to PG.
Yes.
Although you did say the word boner.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't even know if that's a, that's not an R-rated word.
No, it's not.
No.
No, because wasn't that a Shauna Na guy?
Yeah.
This is boner.
Yeah. It's a guy's nickname. Hey, boner, get your ass over here.
No, I'm pretty sure ass is not in. But I'm guessing.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Boner's okay, but I said ass.
You can't say that. So, right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, So
how was your life this week? beat you to it.
You did, because now I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, exactly.
Life was actually pretty good. I mean, has normal ups and downs. We've been really focusing on creating this book that we're creating about sleep.
And it's coming out next week or the week after?
Yes, hopefully next week.
I love the title of this book, Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning.
Yes. Now, it's funny, because this was really a dual think process. You're like, hey, Julie, let's take some time and really think of some great titles for sleeping. And you're like, Crush Sleep, which is our secondary title.
Yes.
And I said, what about Sleep Your Way to the Top?
I thought about that, and I loved it. And then I said, Of the morning.
And you're like, wow, I like that. That sounds good. So that was the title of our book coming
and
out.
And we showed it on Facebook under Christine, Marie, and Julie. We got a picture of our cover.
Yep.
I love it.
I love it, too.
I love it.
That's the most important thing, really, isn't it?
It's all for us, right?
You know, what was kind of interesting today, I had something interesting happen with Doug today. He was talking to me, and he's got two daughters. And I've been part of his life for, gosh, going on 16 years now. So I know these two girls really well. And they're women now, right? One is having a baby, married, having a baby. And the other one is just ended college. And it was so funny because he was talking to me a day and he was saying, you know, Julie, I had to be really honest with myself today, which is something I don't like to do. And I thought, that is
the truth. That is the truth.
And I thought to myself,
the dude has a hard time being honest with himself.
Well, and how many times are we not willing to be honest with our own selves?
That's true.
And he was saying to me, he goes, because he's all about, he has his financial goal. He wants to open up a gym. He has his own sports nutrition store, vitamin store, and he wants to open another one and combine it with a gym. And so he's like in this process of just trying to save money and so forth. And so he was saying, I have been giving my daughter, the one that's been in college, $1,500 a month for the last 4 years.
Over and above, just to live. Yeah, just to have spending money.
Well, I mean, to pay for housing.
Oh, does that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does.
Because I thought she kind of worked for that.
Well, not recently. Mm-hmm. You know, she had to focus on her grades this last semester and so forth. Mm-hmm. And he goes, this has to stop. And then,
no.
And he goes like this, you know, I hate, you know, I'm being honest with myself, but I hate to be that way. And I just started laughing.
Can I laugh too?
Yeah.
Can we say why we're laughing?
Go for it.
Because he's being honest with himself and he says, this has to stop.
Now.
Guess what she's
She's done. She just graduated. Of course it's going to stop now.
You can be truthful.
Now you can be truthful.
Now you can
put the foot down and say, this has to stop now.
No more.
It can't happen anymore. And so I just thought that was hysterical.
That is hysterical.
And I just said, well, you know what? Luckily for you, you don't have to deal with this anymore because she's coming home, staying with you, getting a job and all that stuff. And now life really hits you in the face.
Right.
Because you got to get a job, start paying back your student loans and all that good stuff. And so I said, I said to him, maybe not bring it up to her that this has to stop.
No, because it'll just end.
It just ends. Yeah, it ends now. She comes home at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not say, man, I've given you so much money for the last 4 years. We all know it. No one's going to give you props and so forth. Mm-hmm. But
we could throw him a shower, I guess.
We could. You know what we should do? Mm. Which I'm sure a lot of parents would love to have. Like, the party's finally over, party.
Yes.
Like, these kids are coming home now,
yeah.
And I'm going to start saving some money.
Right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The party's finally over, party.
Yeah, the party is finally over, party.
Yeah.
You know?
I paid for you to be, you know, drunk through the...
Yeah, well, I'm not saying she was, but...
No.
No, not her.
No,
I totally don't think so. Not her. No way. I mean, yes... I've asked her about, to prepare me 1,000 different cocktails, and she knows how to do it, and she's very proud of it, but no, and so forth.
I love it, though, because can I just say a little bit about, her major was Japanese?
Chinese, excuse me. Yes.
And every Christmas, we always ask her to speak some Chinese, and she can't.
Well, that happened for the first 2 years,
yeah.
And then she had to change her major.
Because she couldn't speak it.
She's like, I talked to her about it. I go, so what's going on with Chinese here?
Yeah.
And she goes, I just couldn't get into the other upper level classes because I couldn't get enough. I mean,
we would ask her like, oh, say dog.
Yeah.
Or say house.
She's like, I don't feel like it.
Not really. I can't. But it's your major.
And it was so funny because at Christmas time, Gregory would play guitar. And he'd go, just say anything in Chinese and I will play guitar to your song. And it will be perfect. And it was perfect. And I don't know what she said.
But no.
She could have been lying to us for all I know.
Is it Chinese? Is that Don Don Bodioso, Mr. Roboto?
That's Japanese.
Oh, okay.
The stick song?
Yes.
That's Japanese.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm assuming it could be Latin for all I know.
Right.
But I think it's
Japanese. It's not Latin because I took 8 years of Latin.
And Mom, can you speak anything in Latin for me right now?
Publius Cornelius. That means, where is Cornelius at?
Yes. ¿Dónde está? Cornelius.
Publius Cornelius. That means he's at school.
Donde
at the forum.
Donde está Libertectia? What is it called?
Cornelius says toga.
Awesome.
See?
You know it.
Veni, vini, vici. Do you know what that means?
Live, life, love. I don't know.
Oh, man. Veni, vini, vici means I came, I saw, and I conquered.
I knew it was something like that.
Oh, but live, laugh, and love? That's a little different.
I came, I saw, I conquered.
And then toga. Veni, vini, vici, toga.
There you go.
That's like, what do you wear under that toga?
You know, exactly. Not much, because that's just, come on. They didn't have underwear back then.
No, I would just say twigs and berries.
That's right.
Or beans and franks.
So.
Or can I do any other metaphors?
I don't know. For you?
Yeah.
Would you say beans and franks?
I would say twigs and berries.
Would you say twigs and berries?
I would say yes. More than beans and franks.
Yes, exactly.
But isn't that what the doctor calls them?
Our doctor. But not girls.
No, I know.
Okay.
But I've heard our doctor say about Norm.
Yes, let's take a look at the
beans and franks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plurals on the franks. I don't want to know, Dad.
Yeah, 25 years of schooling. And let's take a look at the beans and franks now. And cough.
Well, he's trying to, meet Dad at his own level, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I wonder what he calls the girls. Never mind.
Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to say a Taco Bell reference.
Oh, like a taco?
I didn't say it. You did. I didn't say it. You're the slowly slipping from his PG rating.
Yes, exactly. But thinking of this idea that how many times are we afraid to be honest with our own selves?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back to the question.
I know on Facebook I said last week, I said, darn it, sometimes it's all right to play emu. Is that the right
ostrich?
Animal? Oh, yeah.
But you did. I think emus are also in there.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, because emu is a word womp word.
That's right.
That you use frequently. Yeah. Where ostrich is not. Right.
Thank God. It's okay to play ostrich sometimes.
Yes. It is. And it's interesting because if you haven't heard the past podcast, well, I'll tell you now. I've given up sugar. I have sugar once a month. And sugar meaning, the fry, the cakes, the donuts, the cookies, the ice cream, the candy, the chocolate, all those good things that are really bad for you.
Right.
And, I finally just gave them up, except for once a month, because I didn't want to put in my mind that I'll never have them again and play that dumb game with yourself.
Right, right.
Where then everything is... just it's calling your name way
right,
too much.
Right.
And once a week is too much for me.
It's too much, yeah.
Because I like to bake. And so what happens is you bake something or you get something and you have leftovers. And so that one day a week turns into one day and a half a week. And you might just call it 2 days a week. And so it really doesn't benefit you. And so I've had to take full responsibility. And also I had to not lie to myself the damage I was doing to my body mm-hmm. by doing this. And... it has been an interesting ride for me.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah. Done it before, and I've struggled with sugar before because I have such positive memories, connecting sugar baking with good memories. So I've had to reprogram my mind for it. Mm-hmm. And I've had mentors along the way during this time, like Hillary, one of Doug's daughters. She's has celiac disease. Mm-hmm. She just found out as an adult. And so she really cannot have gluten. I mean...
so she can't have cookies.
No. I mean, she can now because they all make gluten-free stuff, mm-hmm. which literally is just...
horrible.
Yeah, and it's also packed with a ton more sugar
right.
than it was if you just got it normally. But I saw her, and the moment she found out she had celiac disease, she just embraced it. It was like, oh, this all makes sense now because I was sick. I'm sick as a dog most of the time. Mm-hmm. And, okay, no gluten. No gluten ever. And when she
embraced that. She really did.
She didn't, and once she embraced it.
And I'm sure there's a 5K run for that.
I'm sure there's a, I would put good money on that.
Yes.
Or a stair run where you're running to the top of the building for celiac, Or I don't think they're selling cookies, though. I could be wrong. The Girl Scouts are
selling. Girl Scouts don't,
No, I don't think so. But, but how can you embrace the things that you're resisting? And so many times, it's that resistance that we struggle with that creates a stress in our life.
Yes.
If we could just embrace those areas, it makes life more easier. Like, hey, okay, I'm embracing this. I've turned the corner. I remember reading from Jack Canfield's book of Success Principles. Mm-hmm. And he talks about this one professor about how he only has ice cream on a full moon. Mm-hmm. That's his ritual. No other time does he have sugar. And he was having a big birthday party, and it wasn't going to be on a full moon. And so during the party, some of his family members came out in a full moon costume, like, hey, aww, you can have some cake and ice cream because it's your birthday.
Right.
And Jack Canfield talks about how he said, no, I can't. And in his mind, if he let that in and broke his integrity,
promise,
broke his promise to himself,
right,
then what's the next promise he's going
right.
to go? Yeah. And I understand that because years ago, I gave up sugar. And then slowly but surely, I let it creep.
Don't call me Shirley.
I let it creep back in.
Yeah.
When you'll have a blueberry muffin with streusel on it, that's not sugar. Mm-hmm. It's a blueberry muffin. It's breakfast. And then you're like, oh, is that blueberry muffin the same as a carrot piece of carrot cake? There's carrot in that cake. There's not a lot of sugar in that cake.
Right. Yeah.
And that's cream cheese frosting.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's just out the window.
Yeah. And also, one of the things that I thought was you commented on, but it's true, is you say I can have it one day a month, but is, you know, used to call like a 24-hour period. So say yeah. Saturday and night see, through Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know now that that's not true. That's 2 days.
Yeah. That's 2 days.
You've got to, if you're going to have it.
It's just one 24-hour, one waking period.
Right.
From the moment you wake up
period, right.
to the moment you go to bed, that's one day. And that's when you can have
right.
it.
Right. And that Tim Ferriss teaches that. And I honor him for doing that. Because right. that's true.
Because when you say 24-hour period, you go, okay, I'm going to start tonight at 5 p.m. Yeah. And then I'm going to go all the way to tomorrow at 4:45.
Yeah. Isn't that like the Jewish people do for
Passover?
Yeah, or something
or
like
that. Or Saturdays?
Yeah.
It's just Friday nights.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that wasn't working for me because it messes me up.
Right.
And it's interesting. Now I'm on my third month. Now I gave up diet soda a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that was harder, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because when I was giving up diet soda, I would detox a little bit, meaning I got crabby.
Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah.
I got crabby. And you sure as hell made sure you weren't very supportive in that first couple of weeks.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize.
I mean, meaning this. When I was crabby, you're like, hey, you know what?
Julie,
just get diet soda.
Wouldn't you love diet soda?
You're going to feel better.
You're going to love that.
Oh, I don't know. I can't have a diet soda. No. And it's interesting because now when I have one, and you're like, why even diet soda? You know, I never said I could never have one.
Right.
Because that's just the
and
way.
And you never, I mean, I've seen you take a sip.
I do.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. You don't drink diet soda, nor his dad. No. So it's not in our household, but Doug has diet soda.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go to the movies, I'll have a sip of his.
Mm-hmm.
But anything more than a sip or two just makes me feel, you know, crazy inside.
Right, right.
And I stopped because I renewed the mind, and it said that it fakes the brain out. Even though it has zero calories, it's super sweet. So it literally pumps insulin to your body to counteract that sweetness. And
wow.
So it throws your body off out of whack. And I'm like, is this true? And I thought, even if this was potentially true,
right.
is
you don't need
more
that.
Than enough information for right. me just to drink chemicals.
Because mm-hmm.
there's nothing natural in it,
right.
I don't think.
No.
I don't know what could possibly
Maybe
be in
the
there.
The water, I don't know. Yeah.
The water, yes.
Right. Then you might as well just drink a bottle of water.
Well, and it's interesting because as I'm getting to the next level of health, so I'm getting rid of sugar, and the other day I was listening to Dr. Colbert, and he was talking about you can take something so anti-inflammatory like water, and then you could put artificial sweetener in it and make it totally inflammatory. And that's how I've been looking at my life now, because I'm not feeling the effects yet of like no pain in my knees.
Right.
And I keep going with a promise, and mm-hmm. I keep having faith that the more I get rid of the bad stuff in my life
right.
and bad inflammatory right. things, my knees will start feeling better. Mm-hmm. And so forth.
And you hold on to that promise.
I do hold on to that.
And you don't
promise.
Let it go. And part of that is it's a decent time to talk about and remind, you know, the listeners out there what a quality decision is.
Yeah.
And we call that like a burning the boats decision.
Yeah.
Like you crossed over, you're on the island, and dang it, you're burning the boats because
you ain't going back.
You're not going back.
You're
going
to make this.
And that's what a quality yes. decision is the one that you make and you keep your promise.
And it's the idea of it not being a 9-inning game.
Absolutely.
You're in the game till you win.
Absolutely.
And so even though I wasn't successful that first time around when I gave up sugar or when I kept trying the course of the years,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter because I kept trying. I kept doing it. I was going to do it until I won.
Mm-hmm.
And the older you get, the more you see things differently, and you learn more about the causes, and you start taking more responsibility for every aspect of your mm-hmm. life.
And also too, like as you get older, there's knowledge, right?
Right.
And you can, you know, people go, oh, I know this. Like we're writing a book on sleep, and you know. Everything that we're writing about is not new information.
No.
There's hardly anything new under the sun.
Right.
But at a different level, that knowledge turns into wisdom.
Yes.
And then you can, as opposed to, I know that, but can you apply it?
Right. You may know it.
Can you have a deep understanding of it?
Is it working in your life?
Right.
If it's not, then you're not practicing it. You haven't turned that knowledge into wisdom.
Absolutely.
And turned that wisdom into habits.
And turned that
what you have to do.
Into success.
And yes. And I find it funny, though, that I've lost sleep over writing this book. Honestly.
I know.
What's that about?
I don't know. You know, it's like... The thing that was like, you know, we're doing all this research and stuff, and this one Harvard study started out like, sleep, it's 1/3 of your life. And I went, huh, it is? I'm like, wait a minute.
Of course.
Wait a minute. I think I knew that. But it was like,
you're like what?
What? Wait, say, wait, what?
A Harvard study? Say it's 1/3 of your life? You're like, wait a minute, 8 + 8 + 8. I get,
wait a minute.
I knew that.
I get that now.
Yeah, and like, I'm going to buy myself a mattress. I need a better mattress. If it's 1/8 of my life. You know,
but
on.
I was right on the stuff that it's supposed to be cool in your bedroom.
Yes.
And that mama likes it frigid.
And daddy has to keep asking for more blankets.
Yes.
But he works it out. You all work it out.
That's
and
right.
So forth. Well, you're talking about doing research, and we were looking at the Big Leap, which we're going to talk about during Pillar Talk a little bit.
Oh, good.
You know, and one of the things I had written or you had written down, or
oh yes, this
draconian.
Is great. Well, we read the book before, and we're rereading it again. It's really just because you're always at a different revelation,
right?
Aren't you?
Exactly.
When you reread, and there was I had written down he had written a very good paragraph. And I had written down draconian,
yes,
as a you know, just to reference it. And so you were reading to me, and
yeah,
you saw my word, and you said, Mama, who's Dr. Arcanian? Julie.
And you're like, no.
Calling Dr. Mo, Dr. Larry,
no.
Dr. Arcanian.
Yes.
Or Dr. Arconian, excuse me.
Dr. Arconian,
yeah.
Yes. I go, I think you wrote Dr. Arconian here. I go, I don't know who that is. No. Is he someone famous I should be aware of?
We're going to be interviewing him in a few days here.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about, I said Zig Ziglar, but it's not Zig Ziglar.
It's Bob Proctor.
Bob Proctor.
Right.
When he talks about you are responsible for every...
For your life, your feelings, and every result you get. Just, that's your mantra.
And when you get that,
yeah,
and
at
you
that,
believe
at that
it,
wisdom level.
Yes. The moment you say, I'm not going to blame anybody else for the results I'm getting, amazing things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, in The Big Leap, Gay Hendricks talks about even when you're in negotiations with somebody or working with somebody on an end result,
mm-hmm,
if you both take 100% responsibility for the problem,
mm-hmm,
that's when things become magically done.
Yes.
It's only
they can
when
be moved,
I'm
yes,
only going to take 50% of the problem and mm-hmm, you're 50%.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
I learned a long time ago that you know, because it used to say, oh, you got to compromise. Nobody wins when
no,
you compromise.
No.
And there is a way of doing, like you said, negotiating.
Or win-win.
Everything
what is your,
win-win.
What is your goal? What is your real goal here? And that real goal can be done in a variety of different ways. And that's the thing.
Yes.
And so how do you do it? So, yeah, when you start taking responsibility for your own life, emotions, feelings, actions,
results,
mm-hmm, and you stop lying to yourself.
Yes.
Magical things happen.
Really?
And really, like giving up the sugar. We believe that you reap what you sow, right? And so be careful what seeds you're planting. Mm-hmm. And I was walking the other day with Hillary, and she knows I gave up sugar. And this was, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago.
She gave up sugar?
No, she knew that I gave up,
oh,
gave up sugar.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And she goes, how do you feel about us walking by the bakery? I go, not a problem. I go, now I've trained my brain to really think all the money I spent and all the seeds I sowed. And the result is I've got inflammation in my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
mm-hmm,
I only, and then you go deep down in your heart, you realize that like right now my insides have changed, you know,
mm-hmm,
but I haven't yet seen the results of my outside body yet.
Right.
And before, you know, I had sowed the seeds, maybe the beginning of lots of sugar or some sugar, and I wasn't feeling the effects of that yet in my knees and my body of inflammation.
Right.
And so you go, you know, there's just that time.
Well, you know, I think that's it just important for people to realize. I call that the gap.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of us quit because of the gap.
Oh, for sure.
Do you know, like, well, this 100%. Isn't working. This, I'm not. Yeah. But, you know, like you told that homeless guy that one time in San Diego, you said, sir, you may be just one breakthrough away from, I don't know, having a home. I don't know what you, but you really.
And then he slapped me.
and then he punched you, right?
Yeah.
But that gap is formidable. And we have to learn how to handle the gap.
100%.
I think that's how it should be our next book.
Handling the gap. I totally agree. And also, what's helped me handle that gap even more is to know that you've come from a place of victory.
Yes.
So you've already achieved what you said you wanted to achieve. You just have to go through the motions to get there.
Right.
And so it's all about you negotiating that space and negotiating the feelings and that negative self-talk that comes in saying, it ain't going to happen, not meant for you. Really? Well, why not?
That's why you sit down in your meditation and you put your future self, the one that already handled it, the one that got the victory, and you have a conversation with that future self.
Right.
And you're like, how do you feel now? Wow, I'm so grateful you did this for me.
Yes, exactly.
I feel fabulous.
Exactly. You know? And I keep reminding myself that a year from now, as I continue to remove more inflammatory foods from my diet, how I'm going to feel.
Right.
How
have
my
that
joints
conversation
are feel.
With your future self.
Yes, exactly. Hey, girlfriend, are you ready for a little
Elia's Corner?
Yes. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
All right. So here we are talking about Elliot's Corner. Everything we learned from our dog this week, Elliot, our little...
First of all, I just want to say, remind everybody that I love that song, Norwegian Wood.
Yes. I love it too. And I love you playing your ukulele.
Yes.
And we got Daddy a ukulele for Father's Day.
Yeah.
Gave it to him early.
Exactly. We're learning another Beatles song. And so here comes the sun. Is that George Harrison?
Here comes the sun. Yeah. Is that the one he's learning?
I think that's the one he's learning.
Okay.
What was the other one?
Little Darling.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a great song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Mm-hmm. So what have we learned from Elliot this week? Not much. Same old. No.
That's not true.
I know. I'm just joking
that's
with you.
That's not true, Julie.
I know
Elliot,
it's not true.
Even though he got kicked out of... Doggy daycare.
Mm-hmm.
He still goes over to Linda's house
a
couple days a week, and she has four dogs. And we take three of her four dogs because one has little heart trouble, so he can't go, or she can't go out.
Right.
But we take Trip and Sadie and Katie Lou out a couple days a week. So Elliot gets about 4 days of play.
Yeah, easily.
So she invited him over this, I think it was Tuesday.
Right.
And, well, we knew that Sunday she canceled because his girlfriend and his best friend and
Katie Lou,
she's not a year old yet, or maybe she is a year old, but she's on her period.
Well, she's in heat.
Oh,
I don't know what that means exactly.
Is it the same thing?
I know there's blood involved, but they just call it in heat.
Okay, so she's not on her period.
I don't know if they call it that. They just call it they're in heat.
Okay, yeah, that's probably true because they get pregnant.
Right.
When they're in heat.
And
in real life, you don't get pregnant on your period.
You're supposed to not get pregnant on your period. But there have been many children that have been born by that myth. I mean, literally, this is what I don't want to... I'm just going to come out and say this part.
Sure.
Is the fact that there's a lot of people out there believing that you can only get pregnant when you're ovulating, you know? Because that's just not true.
Okay.
First of all, you don't know exactly when you're ovulating.
Right.
And second of all, unless people are lying to themselves.
That's what we were talking about in the first part of the...
Exactly.
I'm sure a lot of little babies were born with condoms on their foreheads.
Aww.
You know what I mean.
I know it, yes. Metaphorically speaking.
No.
Literally speaking?
Yeah.
They were literally born with a condom on their forehead.
Well, it came through the birth canal with them.
Oh, really? Do you think?
Am I wrong with this?
I don't think. I just thought
is
that
this
was
another
a, I
myth?
It was just a, yes. That was a myth.
All
if that
right.
really happens, No, I think it would deteriorate.
In those 9 months?
Yes, it would be bad.
All right.
I don't think that literally happens.
All right. All right. Okay.
Or you can play the game. That literally does happen. Literally. And so...
But so, so anyway, he was invited over on Tuesday, and usually he stays 4 or 5 hours, no problem. Yeah. But we got the call at like after 2 hours saying, you know, Katie Lou, he's humping her.
Yeah.
Humping her.
I go, I'm so
and
sorry.
And she's wearing a diaper. She's wearing a diaper, but, and Elliot's been
fixed.
So we've never seen him with the B word.
Yes.
The
boner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't think there'd be any trouble.
Which is very interesting because our other male dog that we used to have, Charlie, was fixed. And we used to see him with a boner all the time.
Yes, that's true.
He just, Elliot's just a little different dog.
Yeah, he's just different. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because Charlie Ray, I mean, if he just saw a pretty girl, he'd get a boner.
He really did.
He truly did.
I know.
It was crazy. Even just a normal looking girl.
Yeah. He just liked the girls.
He liked the girls. He liked the ladies.
He did.
And they liked him. Oh, and look at Charlie Ray.
Charlie Ray's got a little boner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elliot doesn't
get those.
Yeah. I don't know why. No. It's okay. Doesn't bother me one way or another.
Yeah. But he had to come home early because he was too busy humping Katie Lou.
Right.
That's what at least Linda said.
And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, well, no, don't be sorry. That's what they do. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we first thing we do is apologize.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Riley. I do what I'm supposed to
do. Oh, not again.
And so, you know, so we're in this period now where we can't hang out with Katie Lou for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
But so what are we learning from all that?
So what do we learn from... I don't know. Let's see. Let's see.
Well, I mean, here's what I learned from Elliot this week.
Yes.
Because the one thing he did this week is that when he gets upset or frustrated, he doesn't choose to eat over it. I mean, he kind of just goes away and hangs out by himself.
Right.
Has a little water and hangs away. And even if it's dinner time, he's like, I'm not there yet.
He's not a foodie.
He's not a foodie.
And he doesn't look to food for comfort.
No. He's very self-contained. Mm-hmm. And then once he feels better, he goes, okay, now it's time to eat some dinner.
That's right.
And wouldn't that be lovely if we just chose to eat when we're feeling good, when we're feeling okay, or when we're hungry, not when we're stressed out?
Right.
That would be awesome.
Right.
So that really is what I learned from my dog a day.
Yeah, so week. I guess that the whole Katie Lou story.
I think it was a very fun tidbit.
It was a good story.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, really, what I've learned, too, is when I'm on my period, I do not want to be mounted. That's like a big no-no for me. And so I've learned.
And thank God that you don't have to wear diapers.
Thank God. Exactly. Well, you never know.
People are like, oh, Julie's wearing a diaper. That time of the month.
So that's.
Or no, wait a minute. We'd say you're in heat.
That's right. Yeah, I'm hot.
You're hot.
Sizzling hot.
Check that out.
Exactly. So, your girlfriend, are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Yes.
Pillow talk. Doris Day. God, love her.
I love her.
Now, if you
and
don't...
And can you explain why we say pillow talk...
In the song.
Because she didn't, unfortunately, sing pillar talk.
No.
But.
She sang pillow talk.
But it's close enough.
I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you something really funny that happened? Oh, my gosh. Speaking of close enoughs. Okay. So Gregory sent me an audio. She sent me a text first saying, we're watching Alphabet Jungle. I think it's Disney.
Uh-huh.
And... He goes, almost, and he did a thing about laugh my blank off.
Mm-hmm.
And because Lillian said.
L-M-A-O-R-O-F. No, like rolling that. On
the
floor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rolling on the floor, laugh my ass. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Because Lillian goes, Daddy, they say a bad word in this. And he's like, what? And he goes, they do. And I said, please send me the audio because I want to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes, they're supposed to say Alphabet Jungle. But for whatever reason, it sounds like I F the jungle. Not the F word, but the real F word.
The F word. Mm-hmm.
Like fudge. I fudge the jungle. And it sounds like that specifically. And I thought, that's pretty.
Well, Disney, amazing. In the old days, they were known for slipping in things like that.
Really?
And in the cartoons, there'd be, you know, just like we were listening to, like, when you were kids, like Bozo the Clown, yeah, and Major Ned, and yeah, Wizzo the...
Yeah, they'd I have, mean, like...
Oh, they'd have,
double,
like,
entendres.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah. Is that the right word, double entendre?
Dr. Arconian... Please come, please come, Dr. Arconian.
Well, or is it like Fight Club? Remember that in Fight Club, where they would take a couple frames out of a movie and insert something really bad and nasty.
No,
and all of a sudden you see pictures of kids crying. Like, what did I just see?
Oh, I mean, people would do that for fun or something.
Yes, for
okay,
fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but now everything's so digital, you can't really do that. Mm. And so, today though, we want to talk about Einstein.
Yes.
And we want to talk about, really, about Einstein's time. And we're trying to figure this out. Because in the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Yeah, and we interviewed Gay and Katie Hendricks. They're a darling
and
couple.
And it's so funny because
they got their start
you.
On Oprah.
Yeah, I'm looking at you and you're laughing at me like, what are we talking about during this time?
I'm just surprised that you wouldn't have ever
talking about
that.
Time? Well, we're talking about this because we're trying to figure it out.
What we're talking about is Einstein time versus Newtonian time.
Right.
And Newtonian time is the time that most of us experience, which is dualistic. Either time is on your side, or you don't have enough,
yes,
or you're too rushed.
Yeah, or too much time.
Yeah.
And how many times do we say contradictory things that we really want to have happen with time? And like you just said, I don't have enough time for this.
That's time I'll never get back again.
Oh, come on. Exactly. Yeah. All these little things that we say, giving the fact that we're giving our responsibility over to time. We're blaming time for anything that goes wrong in our life.
Right.
We're blaming time. And Gay Hendricks was talking about in The Big Leap, this idea that that's Newtonian time. You know, you never have enough. It's scarcity. It's sort mm-hmm. of like...
And it's dualism.
Dualism. It's sort of like the idea of prosperity mm-hmm. through Newtonian time, which is like, you never have enough. He said one thing in this book, which I loved. He said, you never have enough money to buy the things you don't really need, and you never have enough time to do the things you really don't want to do. And that's the truth. But you do have enough money, you can create enough money to buy the things you really, really want.
Right.
And to do the things that you really want to do, you have enough time for. Tony Robbins always talks about time is the meanest equalizer. Because we all have the exact same amount of time. Mm. It really is how we use it.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this through the 80-20 rule.
Right.
That, you know, 20% of the things that we do give us 80% of our results. So the key is to stop doing those 80%.
That's right.
That give us only, you know, right, crappy, that give us crappy results.
And we talk about that in relationship to lists even.
Yes.
Because sometimes this week has been a crazy list
right.
week. We've had like 20, 30 things. But the tendency is to do those things that you're not in resistance to first.
And
so that, you know, the next day, wait a minute, it's on this, that's the top of your list again.
Yes.
And that's the
that
top
thing
of your
list. That's, you have resistance. That thing, though, that if you did it, would give you the biggest jolt forward.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But you're choosing not
they
to do it.
They call it the one
the
thing.
The one thing. You know, what's the one thing on your list that if you did this, a lot of the other things would just fall away?
You bet.
And you're like, oh my gosh, what would that be?
Right.
You know, and that's taking responsibility for your own life and your own results. And so when you work with that, but so, you know, he's talking about the idea of
Einstein
time. And Einstein time.
Say that five times, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Well, God, I'm going to say something else. So,
I know what you're going to say.
So anyway.
I know what you're going to say.
So we really believe that your words are powerful. So pick your words carefully, right?
Right, right.
They're seeds for your future.
Right.
And then we heard the phrase opium overdose.
Yeah, because they were just discussing Prince's
yes,
autopsy.
Which I miss. I love him so much. But, right, you know, right, we're not making fun. But they kept saying the words opium overdose. And I said, Mom, say that three times.
No, you said five times.
Five times fast.
And so we're both doing it.
We're both saying opium overdose, opium overdose, opium.
And then we stopped and looked at each other. Wait, should we be saying this word?
Opium overdose? No.
No.
No,
exactly. Because your words are powerful.
Your words are powerful. So, yeah, let's not say choose your words carefully, even in jest, right. even in fun, and so forth. And I forgot what I was going to say about that.
And we were talking about Einstein time.
Oh, so you really are, with Einstein, the concepts are you are the creator of time. Time is not outside of you. And once you embrace time, things flow.
And he also talks about, in the same tone of embracing time, he talks about filling the space up better.
Right.
Like he says, for example, like when you're with someone you love, mm-hmm. time goes by really fast because you're embracing the space of it.
Right.
But if, say, for example, you had to sit on a hot stove or something,
right.
You know, you're focused on that thing. And so 1 hour, 1 minute seems like an hour.
Right.
So like, but when you're with a lover, your 1 hour passes by like a minute.
And it's interesting because you and I had that experience over the week where we were in Einstein time. Not exactly that. It was a beautiful day.
Yes.
And we were at the park. We were doing some business and really being creative and brainstorming.
It was amazing.
It was amazing getting a lot of stuff done. And we had, Elliot was being groomed that day. So we didn't have him. Or no, it was yet with Linda. I can't remember. I think it was with Linda that day. And it was like amazing. We were just like knocking things off. It was great. It was fun. And time was going by so incredibly fast. But we were still getting a lot of stuff done.
We were in that genius zone.
Yes.
That are, as Gabe puts it, the zone of genius.
Yes. The zone of genius. Yes. Exactly. And then we get a phone call saying, hey, I think he's ready to come home. Can you pick him up? We picked him up, brought him back to the park. Thought it'd be a nice time for him to do that. And then time just stood still.
He's like barking at us.
Yeah. And, ruff, ruff. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
We went from Einstein time
to
Newtonian time.
Yes. And then I think if I would have just embraced the fact it's a new
paradigm, really.
Yeah, a new cycle of life. I mean, new part of life. I was going to say a new segment of time, which is I'm with Elliot. And during this time, if I just would have embraced it, we could have had fun.
Yeah.
We could have done something different.
But we tried to put that segment of time into the... Yeah, Julie, you got it there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be... I just want to say to everybody out there that I'm going to be working with this idea of Einstein time and hopefully
for
having
a while,
more revelations.
We're going to be doing this for a while.
In the initial part, it seems crazy because time is time.
Time is
on your side. Yeah, it's on your side. But some of the things that Gay Hendricks talks about are things that you shouldn't say. I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer always used to say, I never mention that I'm tired, ever.
Right. I just declare it. We'll never say it again.
Because your words are powerful,
yes,
right?
Right.
And he says, I wish I had time to stop and chat, but I'm in a hurry. Don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what he said about that phrase. He said, really what you're saying, you're trying to be polite. I really don't want to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to blame time instead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's...
Take responsibility.
Yeah. Or why can't we just be polite?
Right.
You know, I don't find that offensive. You know, where did time go? You know, there simply aren't enough hours in the day. If I only got another hour of sleep, I'd love to talk to you, but I've got to run. And, you know, I don't have time to do that right now. You know, I mean, we blame time for everything. And if you find yourself needing more time, stop saying things.
Time stuff.
Yes.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
Because stop saying time stuff.
Yes. Or saying, I have more than enough time to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing it, embrace
Get into the
completely.
Flow,
yes.
As opposed to resistance, right?
Or as opposed to being in a hurry. I got to get this done right now.
Right.
Got to hurry, hurry, hurry.
And how do you, that's exactly right, because I have felt like that when we were doing this book, you know. Yeah. And what having that time essence, you know, gets me out of my creativity.
Right.
And then I start getting frustrated because I enjoy being in the creative mode.
Right.
But if you add time pressure into that, that does not work.
Not one bit.
That does not work.
And so feeling rushed, and yet you can say, I have a time deadline without saying I'm going to feel rushed.
Right.
That's putting an added stress to you. And what if you just believed, this will get done. and I don't have to feel rushed about
it. Start from a place of victory.
Started from a place of victory.
You know, we should, we should interview Gay and Catherine Hendricks again. They were a great couple. And do you remember how they said how they got famous? They were just this couple. They were both therapists.
Yes.
Family therapists working out of their home, really. Mm-hmm. And they got a call from Oprah.
Yes.
Because one of her guests had canceled. And they said, hey, can you fly to Chicago?
Yes.
They were out in California. Yeah. And they went,
yes.
Yes.
They said yes.
They said yes.
Yes.
And yeah. That was, I mean, just that one little show.
And they said that now when they said yes, they kept saying yes to that came after the Oprah show.
That's what they said.
Because
yeah.
So many times somebody will be on the Oprah show and then it just gets too big too fast for them.
Right.
And people have to cut it off.
Right.
They're not aligned with it.
Right.
But they've been working with their upper limits.
That's
for
right.
so long. And that's what the Big Leap is talking about as well.
About our upper limits.
How our upper limits stop us.
Yes. And we all have them.
We'll have success and then something happens and we're correct. Like, oh, back off. This back is too much.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, there's more success coming. You just have to kind of stick with it
mm-hmm.
and know you're coming from a place of victory.
Right.
You know, you got to do
it. I think this is going to be, we're going to have an enjoyable time talking about time and wisdom and victory and upper limits.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have some good times.
I do too, because I'm really looking forward to having revelations about this stuff.
Right.
And how I can really, you know, master it and, mm-hmm. and put it into my life.
But I like it. At every, you know, place of your life, okay? You can take something and that you go, oh, I already knew that.
Yes.
But it deepens. It
yes.
opens. It's like this flower.
Right.
That just keeps, you know, blooming.
Right, for sure.
In your heart and soul. Right.
Oh, for sure. And as we get older, we read more, we learn more, and we choose to then act and behave in different ways on based on this knowledge. And then we
yes. learn,
we have revelations of our own.
That's why I was so surprised when I'm like, what, sleep is like 1/3 of your
my life?
Wait, what?
What?
That's a new revelation.
That's crazy, Doc.
What are you?
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
right. Wait a minute.
Plus eight.
Isn't that funny, though, how that hits you?
I know.
Oh, can I say something really quick?
Sure.
I want to talk about this in the beginning of the show, but I didn't. I saw something really sweet on PBS. I'm going to call this my little PBS corner real quick.
Oh, we should.
And I know we don't have much time. I'm about 2 or 3 minutes left.
Okay.
But they were talking about the Sahara Desert. And again, and they were talking about this this archaeological find they found. And it was a lot of bones in this one area that mm-hmm. really is dated like 5,000 years before the pyramids were even built.
Mm.
And what it was that they found this woman with 2 children. And they were definitely placed together. They were buried together at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have died at the exact same time because the way their bodies were melded together, like one was, they were all holding hands together.
Oh, no.
And the one child was holding the other child and the woman was holding all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was so tender and so sweet. And it had to have been done before rigor mortis set in. So for these bones to stay like that.
Oh, okay.
So they knew they had died together. And so it was a quest for these archaeologists to find out what had happened. And I thought that was so interesting and so touching, the story they were trying to find out. But I didn't know this. They tried to figure out the age of the children. Because I guess what happens from the moment we're born, we grow one layer of enamel on our teeth every single day until late teens. And so... and you can also see if there is stress in a person's life by their teeth. Like if there's famine, drought, they might have a stressor in their teeth, and that would be shown as a dark line in the enamel.
Mm.
And so, and everybody shares one line, one damaged line. And you know what the line is from? It's from birth. We all have a natal birth line where that you can see that this was a stressor in everybody's life, and
oh.
at that moment
mm-hmm.
that enamel is grown every single day. And the one child that she the child had 1325 layers of enamel on their teeth, so they knew it was like I don't know,
3 or 4 years yes. older.
And so the other one had like 2,400 layers of enamel. So they knew how old this child was. Aww. I thought this was so amazing that from this standpoint, we knew what how old these children were.
Yes.
And they said they didn't have any similar stressors, like at the same time in their teeth. There wasn't any black marks of drought and so forth. And there wasn't any signs of trauma. But so they were thinking is that to die all at the same time, it probably was a flood. They probably got caught in a flood somehow. Mm. And it was just...
And they all held hands together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they were found, they were all buried together.
Yeah.
You know, just sweet.
That's very sweet.
I mean, you really realize how we're all connected.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, it's just so sweet.
It is.
I know.
You can learn from PBS and Nova and all that good stuff.
No, I just had that image in my mind, though.
Exactly.
It's just tender.
Definitely. So go to our blog.
At ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yes.
Find us on Facebook at
ChristineMarieAndJulie.
Yeah.
And Amp It Up is coming soon.
Hey, gang, calling the gang.
Amp It Up is coming
soon. Coming in July.
Yes, for sure. All right, everyone, have a great, great weekend, or the end of a weekend.
Yeah.
And have a great week.
And it was great.
It was great. It was great.